The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Sex Out Loud is sponsored by Lilo, award-winning designers of the world's best pleasure objects.
Smart, sexy, kinky, fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Tonight, I'm thrilled to be recording in front of a live studio audience at the Pleasure Chest in Los Angeles. This is part two of our amazing live show, and I have to say, it's really been fun. Has it not been fun? It's been really fun. Partly because we have this audience who's either super engaged or wants free shit. And either way, I don't care. They're asking good questions. Okay, so we're going to do more about sex tips. We're going to get more gift picks from people. We're going to take more questions, and we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions because it is now 2016, right?
Right.
Okay. Let me tell you about this one. My first guest, Sandra Doherty, speaks, educates, hosts, podcasts, and pundits. Her sex-positive teaching methods include heavy doses of physical comedy, playful insight, and delightful factoids. Known the world over for her Nerdist Industries podcast, Sex Nerd Sandra, which has a loyal listenership and almost 13 million downloads. She can be heard weekly in your ear holes and seen on Fusion TV and The Young Turks. April Flores is a muse, model, and erotic performer. She's the first ever BBW to win two consecutive AVN awards for her groundbreaking work, and she is the reigning 2015 BBW Performer of the Year. She's also the host of the radio show Voluptuous Life on Vivid Radio on Sirius XM. Orpheus Black is Southern California's Leathermaster title holder, a published author and erotic educator that specializes in hierarchical dynamics, non-monogamous relationships, and erotic meditation. This two-time body storytelling champion has been traveling the country, teaching his fun and lighthearted educational events for more than a decade. Connor Habib is an author, lecturer, and the vice president of the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee. He's probably the only person alive who's won awards for writing, teaching, and porn, or he thinks he is. Connor Habib! Okay, so we've got a lineup of questions, but I want to open for people maybe who didn't hear part one, just so we can talk a little bit about what it is you all do. April, in 2015, which was last year, you debuted a brand new site, which is a collaboration with Trouble Films. It's called Fat Girl Fantasies, and it's very descriptive in its title, but tell me the inspiration for this website.
The inspiration kind of came from the
the void that is a plus size porn, or porn that depicts plus size performers. It's cool because, well, it's good and it's bad. It's bad because there should be more porn that features fat people, but it's good because there is, it's kind of like the Wild West. Like, we can do you know, whatever we want, and it's like it there, it's needed. So Courtney and I kind of saw this this need, and we are applying our artistic sensibilities to it, and we are fat women fat people creating this work, because a lot of times it's not created by women, or it's not created by a fat person.
So, or it's fetishized,
right? So we're just bringing our own ideas about how we want to be depicted, and also our own fantasies into these scenes.
Okay, cool. I also think it's pretty pansexual, which, by the way, all the people in their 20s now are identifying as pansexual. Did you know that? They're all coming out to their parents this holiday season at the dinner table as pansexual. But your website has some queer stuff. It's got some straight stuff. It's kind of all over the board.
It's very inclusive of everything, and I think that it really reflects my sexuality and also Courtney's whole thing. So yeah, it's reflective of us, and I think it's cool.
Yeah. Okay, Orpheus, you, yes. I know, are the founder of Cirque de Sade, which is a group of BDSM folk who identify as dominance. Tell me what it means to you. This feels like a Miss America question, the way I'm saying it. Tell me what it means to you personally to be a dominant. And world peace.
Wow, that's a big opening question.
I know, it's a big one. So you have a few thoughts on it.
You know what? I don't really think about it because it's who I am. Mm-hmm. Asking me about being dominant is like asking me about how does it feel to be black. You know what I mean? It's just who I am every day. When I came into this lifestyle, I was this person. And I've continued to be this person over 20 years. So for me, it's really important that people kind of understand that it's not role play, it is literally the role I play in my relationships, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just who I am all the time, who I am always going to be. And I love it. I don't see myself ever being on any other end of the flogger.
Hey, Connor, I don't know if you saw on social media, but when I was promoting this event, I posted a tweet about you that said, his dick pics are legendary. His brain is even hotter. But
well, if you cared about me, you'd love me for my dick, but go ahead.
So sorry.
I'm down here, Tristan. Okay. No, go ahead.
That was good. That was really good. No, but I want to talk about actually why it's so radical for you to post sexually explicit content alongside really smart reflections. And people get freaked out about this.
It's really weird the number of progressive, like, sex positive people who have asked me to have separate accounts for, like, dick and thoughts. Like, yeah, as if those are, like, the thoughts are somewhere else. And, like, yeah, it's very strange. So, yeah, I think social media is a really great place for people to express themselves as full human beings. It's one of the best things about Twitter, allowing porn pics. You know, if you're a performer, you can post pictures of yourself having sex and then post a picture of yourself, like, at the mall getting an Orange Julius or something.
That's a registered trademark of Orange Julius, by the way.
Just talking about your day and all that stuff, because people tend not to see sexualized full human beings, and I want that a little bit more, you know? So that's what I try to do, is just show a person who is integrated, you know? And I fail at that all the time, but I try.
You try.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Have you ever been on Sex Nerd Sandra?
No, I would.
Sandra's podcast?
I would love to be.
Not yet, you haven't.
Is this an invitation? I was so jealous because my best friend in LA and my like closest colleague, Dr. Chris Donahue, has been on your show.
I was going to ask you to know him because it seems like you guys would be BFF. Yeah,
I know, yeah, I was like, yeah, why is he not here tonight? Paging Chris Donahue. I thought you went everywhere together.
He's stewing in a jealous rage for not being on the panel. But
Chris.
Yeah, no, I like him that way. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So Sandra, you really have interviewed a ton of really great people. You know, not Connor yet, but you will. And I want you to tell me about one of your favorite guests on your podcast and why. And it's not the favorite, it's one of your favorites.
Like
so you're completely off the hook on this. I like one person more than the other.
I have, I think, over 200 episodes and not a ton of repeat guests. So this is a mean question. This is not cool that you want to, like, I don't care if it's not about people's egos. It's just my brain doesn't do that, you know?
Okay, who's the last person you interviewed?
I don't want to talk about that.
I tried.
No, no, because it was because it was kind of a sad interview.
Oh. Oh, God. Yeah. No, I know what it was. Yeah, no, okay.
But I've been on there twice.
Right, yeah. Oh, no, I mean, you're wonderful.
Yeah, you're really great.
Thank you.
I tell lots of people about how amazing you are. I think, for me, I go two different ways when people ask me a question like this. You know, it's like, oh, what's the craziest? What's the most, like, what is it? Which one? And I go wild and I go to clown sex. Sonny Megatron and Ken Melvoinberg in Chicago, they're great sex educators, and they talked about clown sex on my show. And it's just, it was the first foray into an area of sexuality that was just like, most people were like, I am triggered. I will not listen to that.
Oh, yeah. I know people are really freaked out by clowns.
But then the next episode, I was like, look, you guys, everyone is loving the clown episode. It's not going to be scary. You should probably go back. And so a lot of people were like, aye, and then they went back. It was kind of funny to watch the downloads like happen. And then the other one that's really, oh, God, there are too many amazing episodes, but there's a sex therapist. I love Chris Donahue. He's been on my show a couple times about cheating. Oh, my God. You guys, you got to listen to this episode. Chris Donahue, like, really threw it down. You were amazing. I haven't released that one yet.
That hasn't come out.
Yeah.
But that was at the Improv in Hollywood.
Yeah, we were real fancy that night.
We were funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was a guy there, too. I don't want to discount him. What was his name?
Yeah, he was fine.
Okay.
Great. No, and you would. Fantastic. And then Chelsea Wakefield, who's a sex therapist in, like, the Bible Belt somewhere, and she, I interviewed her about sexual archetypes, and she blew my mind. Like, it really, like, helped me, like, get into, like, myself and understand the different parts of myself when it comes to sexuality. So it was kind of a selfishly favorite one.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. We're like, out of time already, like, just for this segment, not the whole show. But I don't know how that happened. We have a line of questions. I mean, an actual queue, as they say. But we got to take a break. So more with Sex Out Loud when we return.
Pleasure and the freedom of sexual expression are universal human rights, and the better they're understood, the better they're enjoyed. For over a decade, Lilo has been designing pleasure objects that allow their owners to explore their bodies and better understand exactly what makes them feel good. Lilo knows that when you explore your sensations alone, the better equipped you are to start living a healthy, more vibrant, more satisfying life in every other respect. The right Lilo product, and there are many, for every purpose and solo sensation, can help you discover what feels right over and over again. Visit Lilo.com or any good adult store today to learn more, because sometimes the greatest gift you can get is the one you give yourself.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. My guests today are April Flores, sex nerd Sandra, Connor Habib, and Orpheus Black. And we are here at the Pleasure Chest in Los Angeles in front of a live studio audience. Hey, I want to remind you this month, everyone, come and see me and dozens of the country's leading sex experts at She Sexual Health Expo at the Hilton Universal City, January 16th to 17th. I'll be there, sex nerd Sandra will be there, and lots of other great people. Go to sexualhealthexpo.com for tickets. Use coupon code TristanT and get 2-for-1 tickets. Okay, we're going to go right to audience questions because we've got a bunch. And I've got prizes to give away. So, before you even open your mouth, I'm going to tell you what you won. How about that?
Okay.
Okay, great. I'm going to lay it down. Aura 2 by Lilo is the world's most intelligent oral sex simulator, offering a thrilling, teasing, better than the real thing sensation of oral sex. Retail value $189. Woo! All right. All right, Lilo. Okay. Now make it good.
Okay. I hope this is a good question. So this is a question for anybody, everybody really, but I don't want to take away from the physical fun part of sex. It's activity and obviously it's great, but it can be kind of exhausting when you're doing certain things for long periods of time or trying different things. So, you know, looking at different fun like positions and stuff, some of them are like crazy. You know, like you break your neck or like sprain your ankle or something, just trying to try all these different things. So I was just curious if anyone has any like fun things or like new positions or just something they've done before or experienced that could like add something new to your typical roundabouts.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, sex nerd. Sex nerd Sandra.
Okay, so I'm super lazy in the sack. A lot of my workshops are totally about just like ergonomics and like getting it done with like minimal effort. So I love the Liberator Wedge. Which is a wedge-shaped, it's like a giant slice of cheese. And then you can do all kinds of positions, but it helps support your body, like your back and under your butt, so you can like be on your back and it's like, hello, lick me, or like, bend over, do me, but you're like super relaxed because you don't have to support yourself. So that I love that for all kinds of things. And like, it makes your bed, because a lot of people's beds are like not high enough for like standing up sex, but then if you align it, then all of a sudden the person who wants to receive can be on the bed and another person can be standing and doing stuff. And then you're like, oh my God, our bed's like super high now. We're cool. So anyway.
I really like the challenge of, I talk a lot. So I really like the challenge of not saying anything or having my partner not say anything during sex. It's a completely different experience. And it's not like when you're with someone who's just kind of boring and not vocalizing at all, like that can suck. But when you're someone who talks and the person you're with is someone who talks and you decide to both shut up, it becomes like a completely different experience. The restraint of like expressing, except maybe some moans. So like that's really simple. And I mean, it's not like, you know, like it's not a piece of cheese on the bed. I love that. Like it also answers the question when someone's like, "Hey, baby, you ever fuck on a piece of cheese?" You know, you're like, as a matter of fact. I think it's just this simple thing that you can try if you tend to vocalize a lot.
My tip is also kind of seems simple, but something that I rediscovered recently. Just having sex in front of a mirror, especially if it's a big one. Like you don't have to do any different positions necessarily, but you get a different perspective and that just adds this whole new level of like, oh, I never saw that before, or have fun in that way.
Try erotic stretching. A lot of people do a lot of things erotically, but when you're doing bondage, you have to make sure that the person is comfortable in the position that they're in. So sometimes you'll stretch them and mold them and make sure that they're in the right position to be bound so that they don't cramp up. So one of the things I like to do instead of doing the bondage is just make sure that the person is nice and naked and we're touching and breathing. What? Well, we're touching and breathing and I'm pushing them in different positions to see how their body moves, because we may hit a position that you didn't even know that you liked. So that's kind of a good way to be close and warm the body up and get everybody ready and limber for the marathon sex that is going to happen, especially if you're banging Connor Habib.
a marathon 5 minutes after.
That could be the name of your memoir, Connor.
There you go.
Thanks for your question. We've got another question.
Hi, I'm interested in the idea of surrender, and I like to think of sexuality, in particular BDSM, but sexuality in general as also being likened to a shamanic journey in terms of being potentially transformative. And so surrender is really necessary if you're going to go somewhere, especially like I know we all love to have like our checklist of boundaries and stuff, but for me the idea of really... like giving myself over and letting something happen and getting out of my head and giving over to someone else's leadership is really appealing. But how do you know when you're like if you're just open to surrender all the time, you're obviously open to a lot of negativity too, so you can't live in that space. So how do you know when you're going on a transformative journey, and how do you know when you're making a deal with the devil?
Well, a deal with the devil would be pretty transformative.
Connor, my ex is still paying me back for bailing him out of jail. Right. My ex got it, so I want to avoid that again.
Okay. Fair enough. This seems like right up your alley, Orpheus, just because you teach meditation and bondage. And
your name is Orpheus, so transformative journey.
So, I mean...
First of all, submission is about letting go. So I think the journey starts with you letting go of preconceived ideas that may be holding you back in certain ways. A lot of times what we kind of put on other people is what we see in ourselves mostly. Okay, that's the first thing. Just getting rid of all those things that are holding you back. The second thing is really scrutinizing and dealing with the person that you're with. They have to be someone who's willing to lead and guide you to where you want to go. Okay, not to where they want to be, but to where you need to be. Right? That's responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. And when a person submits to you and everything that they've given you is in your hands, you are completely and utterly responsible for that. And a lot of people are not willing to take that journey with you. Right? So if you don't feel in your heart of hearts that you're willing to let this person guide you and take you where you need to be, then you don't need to be with them in that way.
Mm. Does that make sense? Woo! Woo!
Do other people have thoughts?
Yeah.
I like to test people.
Oh. If I, because I really need to feel safe to like let go, like really. So I'm not gonna wait till I'm in the bedroom and doing stuff for me to be like, okay, let me try it. Oh shit, you know. Like, so I will kind of, like little things, like if I'm making out with someone for the first time and like we haven't had a safe sex conversation or anything, be like, hey, pause. I'd like to actually check in about a few things before we go further and see what they do. Because some people are like, oh, God, you know, and some people are like, totally, yeah. And so I think just being able to, because people will show you, you know, how they react to things in smaller ways. It's like how you treat wait staff at restaurants, you know, that informs so much. So that's how I kind of just go, okay. Because red flags, they're all over the place if you want to see them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. April? Do you have anything to...
That's the first time I've been hearing about this, so I'm listening.
Okay. I mean, I think for me, there's two things that are important. I agree that you have to listen to your inner voice and your instincts, because I do believe that people show you who they are, and we sometimes like to look right in there, and other times we're just like, oh, I'll be over here, it's fine, just keep doing that. And then I think you have to take the risk. I mean, that's part of what you're saying, like, don't be invested in the outcome. If you really want to have this journey, then you can't know everything about it until you're there. And that's scary and terrifying, but that's also balances out. You know, sometimes we have to take the journey and go there and go, wow, I never want to go there again. Like Myrtle Beach or something. But you know what I mean? Like sometimes the way that we find our limits and the way that we find our boundaries is that we bump up against them and we say, okay, next time, not that. You know what you're gonna win? Okay, that doesn't register on the radio. She just made an amazing excited face. Okay, you're gonna win the Tiani 2 from Lilo, which is one of their newest toys. It's remote controlled. How fun is that? And it's a vibrator that you wear during sex.
Oh, I need that.
Retail value $159. Woo! Thank you, Lilo! Oh my gosh.
Wow, you feel like Oprah.
You're getting a vibrator. You're getting a vibrator.
I wish there was a vibrator under everyone's chairs. There isn't. There are presents under your chairs, but you guys can open them later. I think we have to take another break, but we still have to get to New Year's resolutions. God, we need to get to New Year's resolutions. Talk about this amazing year, 2016, that we're all in right now. So don't go anywhere. More when we get back.
No fluff, no lies, just real women talking real sex.
I am so bruised on my girl bits.
Sex gets real.
Sex gets so real.
So real up in here.
A weekly podcast with Dawn.
I just masturbated.
And Dylan.
Let's talk about the elusive clit.
Check them out on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and at sexgetsreal.com.
Cock rings.
Cock rings.
Pleasure and the freedom of sexual expression are universal human rights, and the better they're understood, the better they're enjoyed. For over a decade, Lilo has been designing pleasure objects that allow their owners to explore their bodies and better understand exactly what makes them feel good. Lilo knows that when you explore your sensations alone, the better equipped you are to start living a healthy, more vibrant, more satisfying life in every other respect. The right Lilo product, and there are many, for every purpose and solo sensation, can help you discover what feels right over and over again. Visit Lilo.com or any good adult store today to learn more, because sometimes the greatest gift you can get is the one you give yourself.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are here at the amazing Pleasure Chest in Los Angeles. For your pleasure, I've got Connor Habib, Orpheus Black, Sex Nerd Sandra, and April Flores, and me, I'm your host, Tristan Taramino. Let's go right to the audience for another question.
All right, hey, thank you for putting the show on. This question is more towards Mr. Orpheus. Quick question for you. How would you go about learning the ropes, pardon the pun, just getting started as far as accreditation or people who would teach you? There must be, I know you've got 20 years plus experience looking into some different people who may want to teach you. How would one become a student?
Is your question, how would you be a student or how would you get into the lifestyle? Which one?
I thought they were actually kind of one the same,
yeah,
with all
same.
Respect. Okay. So I don't know. I'm perfectly ignorant.
Well, let's try and do two different things. Basically, getting to the lifestyle is really taking the evaluation of what you're looking for. There's a difference between fetish, you know what I mean, if you're just fetishizing something because it turns you on, as opposed to looking to have a dynamic with somebody where you're exploring dominance and submission, bondage, you know, that type of thing, where you have responsibilities in place. It's not just a one day, 1 hour hookup thing. Right? If that's what you're looking for, then there's lots of places online like Lair.com. They have insights where you can come out, meet people, and also learn a little something from educators that are in the area. You can also go to Threshold, and they have different events where you can go out and just meet people, see what the scene's like, watch actual scenes happen, and also they teach classes. Once you kind of get your foot in the door and you're looking for mentorship, that's where it becomes difficult. Because there's a lot of people that say they know what they're doing, but very few people do. What a lot of people are doing is trial and error, right? And so what you have to do is be able to find somebody who's already doing what you're into, talk to them and see if they'll help walk you through getting to where you need to be.
And that person, sorry guys, but that person will be located and found through these places you're referring
exactly.
to.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly, because you have to see them doing what it is that you want to do and then talk to them specifically, right? Because again, I've seen lots of people online, they'll contact me, say, I've only been doing it a year, and then I'll see them in a chat room and they're like, yeah, I've been doing it 10 years, 15 years, and I'll mentor you. Right? Right, and that's something that happens a lot of times. But have fun with it. You know, you're gonna have sex. You know, this should be a joyous thing. You know, don't make this like a huge thing. Like it's gonna be strict and this that, and the other. Have fun. You know, and when you're being bullshitted, you know when people are talking to you seriously and then you're enjoying yourself. Have fun and just take your time.
There's also great classes at this very place, the Pleasure Chest.
Oh, yeah.
Pleasurechest.com. Yeah, no, there's great BDSM classes here and also at Stockroom. Mm-hmm. Stockroom has this thing called Stockroom University where they teach a ton of classes from very beginner, like the basics of bondage 101, all the way to, you know, deep humiliation play in the context of dominance and submission. So it really runs the gamut.
Appreciate that answer.
You're welcome, thanks. And you know you won a prize.
Oh my God. You totally did. I'm killing it with these prizes. You won the Loci, the waterproof rechargeable Loci, features 6 variable settings for powerful prostate massage. All right. Okay, we haven't got another question.
Just because we are in 2016?
Yeah.
What's the best sexual experience you had in 2015?
Ooh, ooh, personal.
Okay, I'll start. no, this is a good one because I think, you know, sometimes when we have a sexual partner, we tend to get kind of lazy about masturbating sometimes. I'm not Connor, but me. And I recently like made an actual date with myself. Not to just like try to get off in 2 minutes, like with, you know, the Hitachi magic wand, or the, I'm sorry, what is it called now?
The magic wand.
The original magic wand. But actually like made a date with myself and like picked out a bunch of toys and like some lube and put on some nice music and like kicked the dog out of the bedroom. And I feel like reconnecting with yourself is really, really important. So my best sex that I had was with me.
Oh. Nice.
I'm still thinking.
In 2015, I threw a giant sex party for SPLA, and it was
Sex Positive Los Angeles,
and I got a chance to meet a lovely young lady, me and my wife, and we did an amazing suspension / sex / fire / breath play scene with her in a dojo in this kind of like coffee Japanese style room, and you know, it was her first time doing it, and she just said, just take me wherever you want to take me, and it 3 hours, multiple orgasms for her, me and my wife, and we were just spent on the floor looking up at this, you know, bamboo, beautiful room, and it was just great. It was amazing. Mm,
that sounds nice.
Yeah, it was great.
Connor?
Well, it's kind of the people and the people, I've revealed something. Involved in my best sexual experience of 2015 might not want to be like referenced here.
Oh, okay, great.
So while I have no problem talking about whatever you'd like me to talk about, I don't want to talk about them, so I'll turn this into a little lesson about privacy. no, I won't, because that's boring. But I there were people. I had sex.
Okay, I want to get to more questions. So I'm going to cut us off there and go to our next audience question because our audience is just killing it.
All right, quick comment. I did not know you were Tristan. I just read your book and opened it up and it changed my life. Thank you. Just wanted to mention that.
I cut my hair.
I think that's the chick.
Yeah, that's totally.
That's good. I am relatively vanilla in my sexual practices, but I've been looking into, been really interested into the BDSM and the leather community. One of the biggest problems I've always had, because I'm still looking, researching, experimenting, is the idea of being an ethnic minority and the idea of reconciling S&M bondage, BDSM play with your cultural identity. And it's one of those things, like, I'm still very full steam ahead doing more research, but it's definitely, I wanted to know just your opinion on how you reconcile the idea of being a master-slave relationships, because that's something I can't wrap my head around, being an African-American. But many African-Americans do, but I never really had the opportunity to actually ask, how do you do that? How do you identify yourself as a slave with, if you have a particular history in the country? Yeah. Just want to know your opinion on that.
Yeah. Luckily, we have a black BDSM master.
Okay, I'll take this one.
She meant you.
Right, yeah. Okay, sorry. You know, it's not as difficult an issue as you would think, because we reconcile issues regarding race and sexuality all the time, especially in this way. A lot of times people have problems with the term master and slave, but technically almost everyone who is in America at some point in time historically has been a part of, they were enslaved or shackled or oppressed at one point in time. So everyone has had to go through that, and this is a process that we're doing because it's more recent for us. But think about it this way. Floggers never used on African Americans. It wasn't used here. Bullwhips were, right? But most people don't. More people were killed by guns, right? And it used chains, but we've reconciled chains and guns already. So why not the verbiage that goes along with it? When a person says they're enslaved to another person, they're talking about emotional indenturement. Okay, they're emotionally indentured to everybody. And the way I kind of explain it is, we've all been someone's love bitch at some point in time, right? Like, somebody you would do anything for, like you go and clean up their house, pick them up from jail if they want to. You know what I mean? We've all been that person. I mean, that's the type of emotional, stop it. That's the type of emotional enslavement. Right? When people are talking about slavery, they're not talking about antebellum Southern slavery. And I think that's something that we all need to talk about, especially amongst African Americans. That's really my thought process that I had to go through to get to where I am, because I was accused of saying, hey, that's white people crap. We don't do that, right? And I teased other people about it. And when it happened to me, I had to really go with literally step by step and historically look at everything and find out why I was referencing specifically that type of slavery and not Egyptian, you know, or Mesopotamian or some other form of slavery. Does that make sense?
It does. It's, I guess personally, it's difficult to make that bridge. Mm-hmm. It can be done, because I know people have done it, but it's something I'm still like researching, asking questions, figuring out people's experiences.
And you know,
because people have different, you know, because it's not just African Americans.
And if you change, the verbiage, would it change the context of your dynamic? Would that person still belong to you?
I've never thought about it like that.
Right? You arose by any other name, bro. You know what I mean? My wife is going to belong to me regardless as to whether she calls me Master, Dominance, Orpheus, Sir, whatever. She can call me Love Bunny. It doesn't change our dynamic for who we are, right? Really, the labels are to help you identify who you are in a relationship and identify who she is in a relationship to other people outside of your dynamic. That's really all that matters. Very rarely do I get called anything other than Orpheus and some other lovey-dovey names I won't say right now, but it doesn't change the context for our dynamic. But if you ever get a chance, really look at the differences between antebellum slavery and slavery throughout the world, and you'll see that it's not, it's just our own personal mythos. Okay.
I also want to shout out an amazing sex educator, Melina Williams.
Yeah.
If you just go to melina.com or Google her name, she talks so brilliantly and articulately about being an African-American woman who identifies as a slave. In fact, she just got married to her master, who is a white man. And wow. She's one of...
That's difficult.
Okay, see, that pushed your buttons.
Just interviewed her and she talked about it.
So she's been on Sex Nerd Sandra. She's been on my show. She's one of the most articulate, brilliant thinkers of our generation. And she has thought so much about this and is really good. There's also someone in the audience who seems urgently wanting...
She is teaching a class here in January, just after
about... Oh my God! Oh my God! Nice. Look at your calendar! Okay, that's good. So Molina is going to be a great one for you. Next question.
Okay, so my question is, it's like two parts, you can answer either one. How does fetishization, how is it harmful to the person being fetishized? Or how is it detrimental to your sexual growth if you are fetishizing someone else?
Wow, that's huge. That is huge.
Okay. Or I can sit down.
Okay. We're going to try to keep this as concise as possible. Does someone want to jump on this? Sandra, do you want to jump on this?
Oh, I got real excited, but I like Connor's furrowed eyebrows.
I'm thinking about it. You go for it.
Okay.
I'll be
so
ready when you're done.
I've thought about it. So I'm half Asian, so I'm like Asian-ish enough that people are like, hey, look, it's an Asian. Asian chick, you know? And so and a lot of people, like when I talk to my different friends who are different ethnicities, and they're like, yeah, but you're Asian, so that's fun, because like that's like a, you know, like, ooh, hot kind of, you know, like, you're like, you're on the possible. So I'm like, that's not really helpful that like I'm like, you know, like I'm on trend right now, you know? But I think the difference is like, if someone respects me and knows me for who I am, they can fetishize and objectify me all they want, because it's like, yeah, check this out. The problem though is when they don't get a chance to understand who I am as a person and they just are like, yeah, that. And then they're making assumptions of like, well, why are you being so loudmouthed? You should be a quiet, obedient, Asian-ish person, and I'll be like, ah, sorry, you know, like. And so for me, that's a difference, is once we build trust and respect, we can fetishize all you want.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll say like, so my boyfriend, the first thing he ever said to me was, Middle Eastern guys get me really fired up. This is on an app, right? So I sent him a picture of Yasser Arafat, and I said, well, I'd like you to meet my friend. And so understanding that, you know, I mean, it's a process to let that go. And like, of course, so I dismissed him like in the beginning, but then I just kept bumping into him, which also doesn't happen in LA. So I kept bumping into him, and eventually we started sort of letting go of that thing. So I think part of it is, I mean, from my perspective, when it doesn't feel threatening, I'm willing to also understand that most people are pretty dumb about that kind of stuff, myself included. We're all pretty dumb about it. So giving some chance for understanding, especially if the person's really hot, giving some chance for understanding. So that's what I would, that's the other side of it, yeah.
I would say if the fetishization of me negates everything else that I am, then it becomes a problem. Oh. Right? If a person can't see everything else that I, if they only see black man, they don't see Orpheus, they don't see the parent, the husband, all these other things, then it becomes a problem because it locks me into this one little thing of seeing myself only as that one little fetishization. And I think it also doesn't allow that person any growth in their sexuality as well, because they're only dealing with this one thing and they're not expanding who they are sexually to encompass all the things that I am as well.
And then I also just want to say briefly, as the main colonizer on the panel, so let's just assume I'm the fetishizer, is I think we're allowed to have our desires. I want us all to not censor those, and I want us to, if we want to have these desires that are politically incorrect, I think we can have them. But it's how you treat people in the end. Like, it's how you execute, like, what you want and how you actually relate to folks. And if you want to reduce this person and sort of objectify them and dehumanize them, essentially, that's going to stunt your sexual growth, back to your question, right? But I feel like if you have this sort of desire and then you can check yourself on that desire and say, okay, where do I want to go with this and where do I want this to go, I think you can actually work through it. And that could be an opportunity.
It's a really good question.
Really good question.
Here, okay, so you're gonna win a prize too, don't worry. Everyone's, not everyone, just everyone who asked the question is winning a prize. But we're gonna take a break. This audience is on fire. Yeah. You have exceeded all of my expectations. And I have high expectations. So coming up, we're still gonna talk about New Year's resolutions, I think. And there's gonna be more questions, so stay with us.
Pleasure and the freedom of sexual expression are universal human rights. And the better they're understood, the better they're enjoyed. For over a decade, Lilo has been designing pleasure objects that allow their owners to explore their bodies and better understand exactly what makes them feel good. Lilo knows that when you explore your sensations alone, the better equipped you are to start living a healthy, more vibrant, more satisfying life in every other respect. The right Lilo product, and there are many, for every purpose and solo sensation, can help you discover what feels right, over and over again. Visit Lilo.com or any good adult store today to learn more. Because sometimes the greatest gift you can get is the one you give yourself.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. My guests today are April Flores, sex nerd Sandra, Connor Habib, and Orpheus Black. And we are in front of a live studio audience at the Pleasure Chest in LA. We've got time for one more audience question, which also means one more prize. This one is donated by Pleasure Chest, and it's going to be a surprise. You're going to come up and see it. And if you're just missing out on this party, which sounds like so much fun, it's because it is. But you can go to pleasurechest.com and get a little piece of the party there. So, what's your question?
Hello. Well, I was wondering, how do you prepare yourself for anal?
Oh, it's just that simple. Okay, I'll take this one. I'll take this one, and then we'll just move on. Okay, first, I would like you to bathe before you have a sex date. I think it's polite. Unless they specifically request on Scruff, like, come dirty. And that's just like a thing, right, Connor?
I guess.
Just totally stereotypical. Okay, so the first thing is you're going to bathe. You don't need to fast or do anything crazy like that. You're gonna bathe, you're gonna have a bowel movement before you have your hot anal sex date. And then if you wanna be sparkling clean, you're gonna have an enema. I've got a whole chapter on that in my book, The Ultimate Guide to Anal Sex for Women. There's also a bunch of stuff about dudes in there, so don't be alarmed by the title. Okay, great. So now we're gonna get to New Year's resolutions. Let me first say I hate New Year's resolutions. I hate the whole concept, but here's what I wanna know. Here's what I really wanna know. 2015 was a rough year for a lot of us. And I say that individually and also throughout the world. So I don't wanna know about resolutions. I just wanna know what do you want for 2016? Connor Habib.
What do I want for 2016? You know, I'm like endlessly fascinated with what's going on in the world and what's going on with people's sexualities and sex and all that. I'll keep it close to sex since that seems to be the topic tonight. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I think what I want for people is to, I mean, something I talked about earlier in this, which is to sort of endure letting go of preference a little bit, because we run away in fear from being bored, from being uncomfortable, from being scared of a new situation, all that kind of stuff. And instead of just sort of observe that, stand back and observe that, I think that's good in sex, and I think it's also good for the world. Something you learn as a sex worker, which is really potent, is how to sort of detach and healthily detach and watch your body do these things that you're asking it to do. So, like, I go on set and have sex with people that I'm not attracted to. I've learned a lot from that. I do think I certainly wouldn't have sex on a motorcycle if I weren't making a porn. It wasn't moving, but I would have sex on a motorcycle if I weren't in porn. I wouldn't have sex for 8 hours. Well, maybe I would have sex for 8 hours, but I wouldn't have sex for like 8 hours. You know, so to healthily detach and sort of see what preferences rise up, what feels uncomfortable, and instead of running away, just watch. I think that's good for sex. I think that's good in general in the world, to not flee in terror for something that makes you feel uncomfortable.
Orpheus?
Clear and concise. I, you know what, after a big breakup of my poly family, I think I'm just healing. I just want to take that time to heal and get right. And hopefully by the end of the year, be able to start thinking about another intentional family. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. We can clap for that. April?
Oh, it's the same as Orpheus said. Healing, for me, is a daily thing. And growth, personal growth, artistic growth, just being a singular person in this industry now is always a challenge. And I just want to grow each day. And you not use my GPS. That's always my New Year's resolution, just to get around LA, because I used to know it really well and I got very lazy. So every January 1st, I'm like, I'm not going to use this Google Maps.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Right on.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is a challenge. Okay, concise. Ooh. Okay, three things. Two sex things, one career things. One would be... because I identify agender, but figuring out how to dress myself, because gender's a spectrum and I'm kind of fluid and I'm kind of feminine. Look at the lipstick, yeah. But I can't figure out how to dress myself in when I feel neutral, when I don't feel like dragging it up. Like, I don't know how, besides like just wearing like a white like bathrobe. Like, I don't know what to do. Not even a bathrobe, that's kind of femmy. So figuring out how to dress myself and present myself in the world in a way that feels authentic to me, that's one thing. Second is to go on a diet, but guess what kind of diet? A vibrator diet, because this person got really into vibrators the last year and a half, and I cannot come any other way. So let's figure that one out, because I used to be able to come like 20 different ways, and now I'm all Hitachi'd up. So there's that.
First world problem.
I know. So, but that's important to me, to diversify my orgasms. And then career-wise, I think I really want to start teaching online workshops, and that's something that I kind of freaked out about, and I said I'd do a couple months ago, and then I was like, So this coming year, especially because I'm such a weirdo, I really want to figure out ways to reach the most people possible and make it affordable and just make my work accessible throughout the land. So that's a personal
goal. Let's do something together on that.
Okay. That's awesome and terrifying, and I like it. The end.
Okay, so I'll clap for that. I have personal, professional, I feel like all over the board on this. I feel like I want to experience more joy in 2016. Mm-hmm. 2015, there was a lot of not joy for me, and a lot of not joy in the world. So I'm looking for more joy, which I need to show up for and be open to. I want to reconnect with my partner of almost 15 years. And I guess I just want more people to have better sex lives. I mean, it's like kind of the general thing that we're still trying to do, like in our work, is to just bring more pleasure to people. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 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 Okay, I want to thank my special guests, Sondra, host of Sex Nerd Sondra on the Nerdist Podcast Network, sexnerdsondra.com, and at sexnerdsondra on Twitter. Listen to her podcast. Obviously, she's amazing. Online classes coming soon. No pressure. April Flores is the host of Voluptuous Life, heard every Thursday, 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Time on Vivid Radio, Sirius XM channel 791. She is also at fatgirlfantasies.com. Support ethical feminist porn. Go pay for it. Orpheus Black is still Southern California's leather master, title holder. That has not changed. Go to orpheusblack.tumblr.com, and that has all of his different social media platforms. Also, Orpheus_Black on Twitter. And then writer, teacher, former porn star Connor Habib blogs on his site at ConnorHabib.com and is at Connor Habib on Twitter. I'm at Tristan Taramino and at Sex Out Loud Radio. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, today's producer in the field and tech master Charlie Mead. Segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer. Special thanks to everyone at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood, California, and my incredible studio audience. An amazing lineup for 2016 with the generous sponsorship of Lilo. We're going to kick some major ass with lots of guests. You can get us every Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Go to facebook.com/asktristan, find our Twitter feed, go to sexoutloudradio.com, and take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.